Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the presentation of the first quarter results for 2010 for Telenor. My name is Scott Engebretsen, and I have the pleasure of guiding through this morning's presentation. First, as part of our security procedure, I would like to inform you briefly about the emergency exits from this room. In addition to the door you entered into this morning, you will also find the emergency exits at the back of the room behind the curtain and at the end of the stairs to your right. We hope that everyone has the material that we have made available this morning, that is, our press release, the quarterly report, and a copy of the presentation to be used here any minute. You will also find this material on our website at telenor.com. You can watch this presentation live or in recording on either the internet or on a mobile phone, live or in recording after the presentation. During the presentation, you may also send in your written questions, and you will find information on how to do that from our website. As usual, there will be a Q&A session directly after the presentation here, first from the audience present, then from the ones participating on the phone, and finally, an opportunity to do individual interviews. Enough said from me. To present the figures today, we have our CEO, Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Richard Aa. First, I'll leave the floor to Mr. Baksaas.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. There is an automatic blinker here, I see. Thank you. Good morning to all of you. A fine day outside. Yesterday, snowy. Today, much better. You're all welcome. First of all, I want to take you through a bit of the highlights of this first quarter 2010, characteristics of Telenor, and then I will leave the floor to Richard Aa, who for the first time will guide us through the financials. Let's start. We've entered 2010 with quite a strong momentum, as we see it when we report our figures. This momentum was, of course, also geared towards the fact that we completed the VimpelCom transaction successfully quite recently. More importantly, in that sense, is that there is a rebound in the organic revenue growth in our group for this quarter. For quite some quarters, we've seen a negative trend in revenue buildup, and now we see a positive trend again, driven by both what goes on here in the Nordic areas as well as what goes on in Asia. We have achieved significant achievements in India in record time on the network side. However, there are challenges in that market as well, and we're not satisfied with the revenue buildup in this phase, in this initial phase. This relates primarily to the need for tuning of distribution and tariff plans going forward. The positive trends in the other countries in Asia, as well as in the Nordics, has given us an organic growth rate of at group level 3% in this quarter. This has been driven by number of customers, as before, and Asia in this quarter contributes with 5 million new subscribers, and it's spread in all five operations, basically. Also here in the Nordics, we see significant pickup, in particular in data revenues coming from the new way, obviously, that mobile internet offers as an attractive way of consuming digital content. Let me then move over to the different geographies. In the Nordics, we have already mentioned the strong growth that we've seen, and surprisingly enough, Mobile Norway leads basically on in generating revenue growth. But this is not only a trend in Norway as such, it's also visible in Sweden and in Denmark. As for the fixed operation, it continues as on the trends that we've seen before. There is a revenue pressure, and it follows more or less the same trend that we've seen before. There is a strong margin here in Norway, but most pleasantly, there is a strong margin lift up in Sweden. And having sort of described challenges in Sweden in previous quarters, we have seen over the last couple of quarters, and this quarter included, that our efforts last year now pays off with both revenue build-up in the mobile area in particular, as well as earning the Swedish operation quite a significant margin lift-up, as you can see from the figures. There is a very strong cash flow in the Nordic area this quarter in particular. But here I need to remind you that we are in the build-up phase for the 4G generation and the capex associated with that to come later this year. So you have to recognize this figure in some way preparing for that period. So don't expect the same sort of level of cash flow for the remainder or the three quarters this year. But on the other hand, it's a good start, and we're targeting solidly, as you can see, the 10 billion cash flow target for the Nordic operation this year, as we did last year. I want also to add that also in the broadcast area, we do see a 4% organic growth figure, and there is a 25% EBITDA margin in that operation this year. Since CapEx is at a low level and no satellites in this quarter, we are then more on the normal figures for that operation as well. And this is driven by Canal Digital in particular here in Norway, who has a 13% revenue growth in this quarter. Moving a bit further south and further east, the VimpelCom transaction was, as I said, completed quite recently. This gives VimpelCom Limited a significantly improved governance structure, and combined with the strong market positions that both Kyivstar and VimpelCom in Russia has, this forms a solid basis for the development of this new group. There is a anti-monopoly committee statement from Ukraine, which came in as a surprise in the sort of closing at the closing moment. However, we do receive a unconditional approval from the Anti-Monopoly Committee in 9th of March, and the deal was completed 21st of March and started to trade the day thereafter. So any further development and work under this question will have to be handled by VimpelCom Limited as such. Going forward here, in our presentations, we will not be able to sort of compete on comment on operating details for these two for this major operation. Of course, this will be done from VimpelCom Limited. On the operating side, there are quite solid margins, and we maintain our market shares in the other operations in Central and Eastern Europe. However, the economic conditions in these countries have not approached the recovery phase. There are no improvements, as we can see it, on consumer demand, and there are weak macros, and taxation hampers also consumption in our area. And this has led to both consumers and businesses being very price consciously in this space. There is quite good momentum on traditional postpaid, which we have been able which enables us to offset to a certain extent the lower ARPU. And we have been able to maintain our margin fairly well in this period. But we need also to address efficiency measures, and our OPEX will be reduced according to income level going forward. As you saw us doing the executing the downsizing initiatives in Panon in March. As for the market share, they remain fairly stable with a small plus attached to it. So the operating side of our companies seems to be quite good. In Asia, we see economic conditions and macros moving positively. There is a good performance in all established Asian markets for the Telenor Group in this quarter. And the operational cash flow for these four operations alone improved by 1.2 billion Norwegian kroner compared to Q1 2009. And this recovery seems now confirmed as organic growth has picked up in all four operations. In particular, on the encouraging side, the smartphone sales in Thailand and Malaysia might be underpinning the mobile internet potential in this region. We just recently also started the iPhone in Thailand, and the initial phase of that is promising. But the question will be how big a segment will be there in the marketplace to sort of grab this new opportunity. DTAC and Digi have already released their Q1 results, and both companies remain their outlooks for 2010. There are external factors in Asia. We have the unrest in Thailand for the time being. There is the energy question in several countries. And these are external factors that, of course, play into how our industry and how our operating companies will perform going forward. However, we seem to be used to that. There have been events before as well. So I do think that our companies are well prepared and able to cope with changes of that nature. Let me then address some challenges in India. I started by saying we have reached significant achievements in record time, really, by establishing all the sites, now numbering 18,000, points of sale, extremely high number. Network and IT to get this all on stream has been quite a performance from our people, which now rate 2,500 people in the union or organization. However, there are also challenges. The price war that surfaced after the launch of Tata Docomo and Reliance has led to a very high degree of multiple SIMs. And we estimate that rate to be around 25 to 30% of the overall SIM population. In this initial phase, we have not achieved to become the primary SIM with our customers at a satisfactory rate. We are being tested as a newcomer in the marketplace, and the churn rate is very high. We now need to tune our distribution and sales activities in such a way that commissions really pay for valued customers rather than number of SIMs alone. In that sense, we're disappointed that despite the fact that our brand has been well received, we have not hit our targets in this phase when it comes to the revenue build-up. The good side is that some circles, this is picking up, and it's picking up well, while others need to tune their means when they go to market. Here, continuous efforts, endurance, and hands-on execution are keys that we need to focus on going forward. To reach for the primary SIM position will also earn us incoming calls, which we up to this stage see far too little of. Our tools in that sense to build the primary SIM position is to utilize dynamic pricing principles, which we are able to do with the modern equipment that we have in the network. We will use on-net promotion campaigns. And we need to go deeper into the engagement and the execution in cooperation with our distribution partners. And this will be part of our second launch phase, which will come up later this quarter. This has implications for OPEX and CAPEX this year. And as you will see, we are revising guidelines to reflect this new status. And we will come back to that under Richard's presentation. Closing then in on my message today, the operational focus in 2010 stands firmly. The rollout and the tuning of the Indian operation, as I just mentioned, is now after we have successfully completed the VimpelCom transaction, our main focus. Having mentioned the VimpelCom Limited company, going forward here we will of course support and be an active owner to VimpelCom's new management. And we have already had our first meeting on VimpelCom Limited structures, and it seems to have got a good start. Then on the operating side, mobile data. This is a growth factor in the telecom industry for the time being. The development here in Scandinavia shows that clearly. And further to stimulate these users through the smartphones and attractive price plans will be part of what we'll do going forward here. The mobile network swaps that will enhance the quality and ensure the future cost structure is also contributing to this on the longer time perspective. In that sense, to maintain the capital discipline and to work as the cost structure is extremely important for us. So the cost efficiency initiative that we launched in all operations will be closely followed up throughout the year. And with those comments, I hand the floor to Rikard, who for the first time will address the Telenor financials.
Okay, thank you, Fredrik. It's quite good to present strong numbers in the first quarter as a new CFO. So I'll take you through in more detail what Fredrik has elaborated on with focus on the numbers. If we then start with the headlines, and this is almost a table of contents for my presentation, the revenue growth is 3%, and that is mainly driven by two main factors which we regard as very positive, and that's an 8% revenue growth in our established Asian operations. The emerging markets in Asia, which is a clear target area for Telenor. The other is almost the same percentage growth, close to 8% growth in mobile operations in the Nordics, driven by the mobile internet. So those two factors are contributing to the revenue growth. Of course, on the negative side, we have the continuous decline in the fixed and the still challenging markets in Eastern Europe. When it comes to the EBITDA margin, we are delivering an EBITDA margin of 30%. That is 2 percentage points higher than our guidance for the year. We guided 28%. And also bear in mind that India is delivering a negative EBITDA of close to 1 billion NOK Excluding for that, we are at 34% EBITDA margin. Again, 2% higher than our guiding, excluding India. Like Fredrik said, we have a very low CapEx this quarter, 10% CapEx to sales, which of India is about 3 percentage points. So the cash expenditure, CapEx to the running operation is as low as 7% this quarter. So if you also correct this figure for India, we are at 27% operating cash flow in the underlying operation. This, of course, then has a big impact on our debt, and we have a further debt reduction of 5 billion, from 26 billion to 21 billion. That is also driven by a strong improvement in the working capital. That is more of timing effect, but in addition to the good results. I should also underline the fact what Fredrik said, that we also see results in EBITDA margin in this quarter from the operational excellence initiatives started. We run in the first quarter with a lower OpEx. And with this background, we have revised the outlook somewhat. I'll come back to that. If we then look at the revenue trends and the EBITDA trends over the last six quarters, we find the 3% revenue growth in the first quarter. But you see on the reported numbers, we're actually down from 24.6 billion in the first quarter last year to 23.9. And the big effect of there is currency. On average, it's a 5% decline in the currencies we're operating in towards the Norwegian krona, as you may recall. The krona was quite weak in the first quarter last year, and it has strengthened considerably. And for example, just towards the Danish currency, it's a 9% strengthening. Towards the Asian currencies, about 8 to 19% strengthening. And towards the Pakistan, it's 19%. And like with the Serbian currency, it's a 14% strength. So this is important to bear in mind when you look at the figures. Also to bear in mind that now Kyivstar is not included in these figures. All these figures are excluding VimpelCom Limited, as it's reported as associated entity. And I'll come back to that, which effect that has on the first quarter. When you look at the EBITDA figures, you get some of the same effects there. We're reporting an EBITDA of close to 7.2 billion krona, which is down from 7.9 billion the first quarter last year. But again, bear in mind that India is about 1 billion, and that also currency is about half a billion. If you extract those two effects, you're down to 6.4 in the first quarter, comparable. So we have an underlying improvement of close to 800 million EBITDA from the operations in Telenor. The big contributors to those 800 million are dtac, with close to 200 million. It's Sweden, with very low starting point, that has to be said, in the first quarter last year, but a more solid performance this quarter, close to 150 million. And it's Pakistan, Norway, and Broadcast also contributing to more than 100 million each in the quarter. So those units have a strong improvement. We also see that improvement going from fourth quarter to first quarter, from the 7.05 to the 7.2. driven by many of the same units. Also there we have effects on India. I'm not well more into that. Yeah. This shows some of the same effects broken down on each opco. And you can see then on the revenue side reported they have a drop of 2.7%, but organic plus 2.7%, and then the difference is of course currency. On EBITDA, we see the same effect at the bottom, reported minus 9.2, organic minus 3.7, and then if you correct back for India, you have an improvement on organic EBITDA of close to 10%. And it's driven by Pakistan, Broadcast, dtac, Norway, and Sweden. Strong performance, strong underlying performance. And of course, you see also some of the challenges here in Eastern Europe. But I'll come back to that because they are compensating a lot on the drop in the EBITDA with lower CapEx and therefore maintaining the cash flow. Then going over to the CapEx and the cash flow. Like I said, we have a particularly low CapEx number in the first quarter, 2.5 billion kroner. Of that, India contributes with about 700. If we compare that to the first quarter last year, which was also a low number, which was about 3 billion, and you add back, you compare apples with apples with India, you get to 3.7 billion, but here you have to take the currency the other way to get down to about 3.5 billion. In the ongoing operations, established operations, we're about 1 billion lower on CapEx this quarter than similar quarter last year. It's particularly the Asian units that have reduced their CapEx this quarter to this quarter. Like Fredrik said, this is not a sustainable level for the rest of the year. We guided earlier at 13%-15%. Now we're guiding down, 14%-15%. Now we're guiding down to 13%-14%. That means that to maintain our guiding, we'll spend 14%-15% of CapEx per quarter for the rest of the year. Bear in mind, this is not representative for the year, and it comes from the fact that we will have increased CapEx spending on the network swapping in the Nordics. Of course, then the cash flow becomes quite strong, 20% due to this, 4.7 billion. We have expensed about 1.7 billion in India. We are then at 6.4 billion excluding India, which is operating cash flow of 27% from the established operation. If you break that down on the various regions, we see the Nordics now are ahead, measured on a rolling fourth quarter cash flow of 10.6 billion. Again, the cash flow this year is back heavy, but we expect to come around the 10 billion for the year. Like we said, the quarterly cash flow can fluctuate up and down, but we expect over the year to target around 10 billion. Like Fredrik said, and also I said earlier, that the CEA has been able, despite the macroeconomic environment and the decline in revenue and EBITDA, been able to compensate by lower OpEx and CapEx. We have taken out about 250 man-years in Thailand, the largest operation now reported under CEA, now in the first and the second quarter. Still we maintain a cash flow of close to 3 billion by low CapEx and tuning OpEx. On Asia, we see on the reported number a strong decline in the cash flow, but that is only due to India. The underlying cash flow in dtac, Digi, Grameenphone, and Telenor Pakistan is quite strong. Rolling fourth quarter is about 8 billion. Also there are some effects that we have very low CapEx now in the first quarter. The underlying growth is quite strong. I'll try to take you through the reconciliation of the P&L from first quarter 2009 to the first quarter 2010. The revenues we have already been through, also the change in EBITDA. We have on the other items, we report 85 million. That is basically costs related to the operational efficiency and reducing manpower in the operation. The bulk of the 85 is related to that. The EBITDA should be explained. Depreciation, we see somewhat increased depreciation. That's basically in the Nordics and also in Eastern Europe to change out the network. We're accelerating the depreciation on the network that is going to be phased out. We have explained the EBIT. Associated company, and here it's important to note that VimpelCom Limited, they will report their figures after Telenor. We don't have the first quarter figures for VimpelCom Limited. Therefore, we have decided to lag one quarter for VimpelCom Limited, and therefore we have not included any first quarter figures for VimpelCom Limited at all in this quarter. What is reported here is that when we got the annual report for VimpelCom, we saw that there were some items that they had treated differently from accounting perspective and charged against equity. while we have to take them over our P&L. And that is basically related to some write-down of options in VimpelCom related to a Kazakhstan asset. So that explains this. Last year it was a negative number, and that is basically the first quarter underlying in the assets in VimpelCom, Kyivstar and the VimpelCom Open Joint Stock Company. Had a very strong first quarter, but they took an FX loss of about 1.9 billion on that asset, so it made a negative contribution. So going forward, coming into the second quarter, we will report the first quarter P&L contribution from the VimpelCom Limited in associated company. Then we come to net financial. There we have a quite special effect in this quarter. When you made, Telenor made a commitment to inject the third and the fourth equity into Uninor, that was, should be done in rupee. That was hedged, and since then the rupee fell, and that is a negative 375 million NOK hedging effect. Previously, that would have been taken to equity, but new rules under IFRS makes us to take that over P&L. Due to that, it's a transaction between majority and minority shareholder. We have to take it to the P&L. So that explains then down to profit before tax. Due to the fact that we're not including any profit from associated company, we get a quite high tax percentage in the first quarter. For the year, we'll get a very low tax percentage due to the fact that in the second quarter, we will book about 6 billion earnings related to the sale of technically then or sale of assets into VimpelCom Limited. That will give an accounting gain of about 6 billion that will come in and will lower the effective tax rate. So then we get down to the net income then of about 1 billion and an EPS from continued operation of 1.6. If we correct for this currency transaction and normalize the VimpelCom results, then we use the average for last year, the EPS goes up to about the 9 EPS in the quarter is about 1.30. Then reconciling the development in net debt, 5 billion drop, and we're now down to 0.7 net debt to EBITDA. And as you may recall, we have a target, or a cap, not a target, that was exactly what I should not say, but we have a cap on the net debt to EBITDA of about 1.6, where we say that there is a risk that Telenor will go from investment grade to non-investment grade if we hit the cap of 1.6. We are reporting now at 0.7, so we have significant headroom up to that, that cap. Then, coming back to how this is reconciled in the quarter, we have the EBITDA. Net interest paid is quite low this quarter due to low debt, of course, and also dropping interest rates. Income tax paid is also low. That will go up in the second quarter. CapEx paid is higher than CapEx accrued. That comes to the fact that Uninor and Pakistan have CapEx accruals at the end of the year that has been paid out now. Dividend received is from Kyivstar. Dividend paid to minorities is Digi in Malaysia. Currency is, again, it's currency accounts held in foreign currency that has dropped due to the drop in foreign currency towards the Norwegian krone. And then we have the accruals that are basically related to various working capital elements. It's particularly in Norway on the VAT and broadcast on receivables. And it's also related to the revenue sharing in DTAC and some effects in treasury on hedging. So that brings the net change measured on the net debt to 5 billion. I'm not well long with this, but sorry. This is showing what we did earlier this year about refinancing some old bonds. We tendered back 770 million bond notes maturing in 2011 and 2012, and we issued approximately the same amount on a 10-year bond at mid-swap plus 97 below 100 basis points. The reason being was that we were not that nervous, but we don't know how these markets will develop with the crisis in Greece and Spain and so on, and we saw a window of opportunity to get a 10-year bond at a reasonable price. There have been periods earlier where we could get this cheaper, but definitely over the last 2-3 years, it's been a lot more expensive. This has increased the life or debt portfolio from 3.5 to 4.6 years. And in addition, we have committed an undrawn credit line for about 2.5 billion. Those are maturing in the next 2 to 3 years. So we have a strong balance sheet measured in net debt to EBITDA and absolute debt. And we also have a, I would say, reasonable maturity profile on the debt. So I would say that the balance sheet and debt is under well control. Then going into the outlook, the previous outlook on the top line, low single-digit growth, still the same. EBITDA margin, 27 to 28%, previous outlook. Now we're saying around 28. First quarter was strong with 30%. CapEx to sales, 14 to 16%. Now we're guiding it significantly down to 13 to 14, both due to the fact that we will spend less in India, but also that we spent very little CapEx in the first quarter. Then if you look at the India, our previous outlook was an EBITDA loss of about 4.5 to 5 billion. We're maintaining that, even if we see, like Fredrik said, more challenging revenue build-up. But we are able to scale down some OPEX, and also the launch in some circles has come later than planned, and we will also adjust the rollout to distribution readiness to some extent. And that gives an OPEX effect that makes us comfortable guiding on the same EBITDA loss. Then, due to the fact that we lack spectrum in some circles, we have lack governmental approvals, which is not about to be corrected, in launch in some circles, and that will also adjust the rollout speed somewhat. We're guiding down the CapEx on India from 2.5 to 3.5 to 2 to 2.5. So if you take the midpoint here, it's about 750 million guiding down. So those 750 million, in addition to lower capex in the established operation, results in a significantly downward guiding on the capex to sales. Okay. Ending slide, financial priorities. This many of you have seen many times before. Try to elaborate how this is developed. These are the three foundations we have laid out on our financial priorities. Maintain a solid balance sheet. I'll not repeat myself too much, but I think we can tick that off. We have a solid balance sheet. But again, it's not a target to get to 1.6 net to EBITDA. We are at 0.7 now. That's a comfortable level. We have a clear goal of having an attractive shareholder remuneration. We have said that we will resume the normal dividend policy from 2010, 40 to 60% of net income. And as some of you may have noticed, we will then ask the AGM now in May for a share buyback mandate. Then on the M&A side, I would say that this is not our key focus these days. Our key focus these days is, like Frederick said, it's operational excellence and delivering on India. But of course, a company with the Telenor's presence and assets has to participate in structural discussions in its industry. So that goes almost without saying in my language. But at the end, I would say again, operational excellence and India are the main priorities, but to sum up just where we are on the financial priorities. Okay. Thank you, Richard. Yeah. We are now ready to take your questions, and we will start with our presence here at Follu, and I'll ask Mr. Boxoff to re-enter the podium. Please also wait for a microphone to be sent over, and also state your name and company, please. So we have a first question here. From Martin Hoff, Arctic Securities.
Yes, good morning. I have a few questions on India, if I may. The 2.2 million subscribers, could you give us some detail on how your net ad development was month to month during the quarter? And then Do you still maintain your long-term 8% market share ambition? And just give us an update on when you now expect that to happen. And then finally, the ARPU of 130 Indian rupees per customer per month in Q1, is that at all representative for your ARPU level going forward in that market? Thank you.
Yeah, many questions there. The way we started in India has, as I said, given us a disappointment sort of on the success and the achievement on the Nipper side. We had hoped that we would have been able to participate also in revenue generation. As to the SIM card sold and activated and reported to try. When we see the activity level on those SIMs, the churn rate, we have been very cautious by sort of applying only a 30-day active period when counting sort of active subscribers. So we're in a way, from the number point of view, we can be satisfied on the distribution of the sheer numbers of teams counted in the tri-way. But when it comes to revenues left behind by those active over that population, we need to tune our market message and sort of get a better understanding on how our service offering competes with others in the same market. And as I said, some circles are under good development in that sense, improving month by month. Whereas other circles need to learn from those circles doing well. And when we now launch in the second phase, we will of course apply as much of the good learnings as we possibly can when we address a new geography. Then for the market share question, the longer term ambition of an 8% market share in the business case as such, that is something that is still there. When we now launch in a wider geography and the organization can fully concentrate on the market and distribution sales activities rather than having sort of such a high attention also on the network build-out in those regions that we not yet launched, will improve also the sort of the working progress of the management as such. So in that sense, we're looking at this as a delay. We have full confidence in the fact that we've done this before. We know it takes time to get a hold in the new marketplace, and we've only been there for a couple of quarters really after the first launch in December. So we will work consistently on our formula and get that better tuned to the actual competitive situation in India.
And my final question was the ARPU in Q1, is that at all representative for your ARPU level going forward in that market?
Well, the ARPU needs to lift positively from where we are today. And we see that the development coming through in those circles doing well. But we haven't brought to you those details in this presentation. I think that will be more something that we'll address when we come closer to the capital markets day after the summer.
Okay, and we have the question over here, please. We are in the red of First Securities. One further question on India. As you touched upon, there are challenges in importing Chinese infrastructure equipment currently. Can you elaborate a bit on how big a challenge that is for Uninor at the current? Question number two, you continue to surprise positively on the CapEx side for the group, and you maintain that the CapEx will increase going forward, at least for the next few quarters, but can you, in light of this, provide some perspective on the longer term
CapEx outlook beyond 2010?
Yeah, on the operating side, on vendors in China, or coming from China, in India, we were a bit surprised that the Indian government basically installed a new mechanism by that in the beginning of this year, when they required an approval for all technical equipment to be deployed in the Indian telecom networks. And that was not that was sort of a general statement and a general ruling for all operators in India. We have now got those approvals for the second phase, and we are 100% covered through the price structures of existing vendors in sort of this year's needs, basically, when we now approach also the second phase. The longer term picture here, this is of course also something that Chinese vendors are working at continuously. So for the time being, we are well covered with the relationship that we have with existing vendors in India. The longer term picture has that underlying question attached to it as to which volumes can be anticipated from the different vendors going forward. But as for now, we're well covered under the existing agreements, and we have the necessary approvals for the next phase, except for the same approval that needs to be in place. There is a security check before you put on the final switch when you activate, and that was the same way it was on the first launch phase. As for the CapEx going forward, you said nice performance and ahead of previous figures, yes. But we have to realize that this industry has been through a phase where growth has not been there. The industry generally has probably had an investment activity that you can, to a certain extent, benefit from in an area, in a phase where growth doesn't move that fast anymore. And that gives us the opportunity to scale down CapEx quite significantly. But on the other hand, when traffic starts to build again, then the industry needs to cater for those capacities going forward. And in the Nordics, our response to that feature is that we have decided to go for a network swap in all three Scandinavian countries and to meet those new volume requirements. So it will give us some higher CapEx towards the end of this year and into 2011, and hopefully a better CapEx profile after that.
And we have a question over here from Frank Moore.
Yes, hi. Frank Moore, DNB Nord Markets. I have a question relating to dividends. You are saying that you are looking to resume normal dividends and remuneration, attractive remuneration to shareholders. Could you please give us some more color on what you view as attractive, you know, how you think about that? Do you think about that more as, you know, a range of payout ratio range, or how do you think about, you know, normalizing the net income level when it comes to the contribution of India and think through that? And how do you view or think about the relation towards the market cap when you think about this? I mean, dividend yield perspective. If you have a competitive dividend yield. That was my question.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. I think we just came out of a dividend discussion with the board of directors, which I kind of set the dividend now until the next AGM. But of course, we see that strong balance sheet and cash flow development of Telenor, also taking into account in India, we are right now in the first quarter at the same cash flow yield this quarter as we have in the first quarter last year without India. That gives us some comfort, and that's why we have proposed to the AGM a share buyback program. When it comes to the policy in itself, I think we will stick to that we will have an attractive shareholder remuneration and that our dividend policy is 40-60% of the net income. That's what we can say for the time being. Thank you.
Any further questions from the audience here? If not, I think we switch over to the ones participating on the phone and call upon the call conference host to introduce the first question, please.
First question, Roland Sugarman, ING. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everybody. A couple of questions for me. Firstly, in the broadcast division, there's been an overall good revenue progression, but noticed that the cable customers have actually gone down. My understanding is that that is mainly performance in Sweden and Denmark. Is there anything that you're thinking about strategically with those divisions? And secondly, in the mobile division, obviously broadband revenues are growing very strongly. Are you noticing anything particularly in the last quarter that has been different in terms of the profile of customer activity?
To your first question around broadcast, yes, we are also satisfied with how the overall reporting figures from broadcast turns out this quarter. The growth there comes also from the obvious fact that Canal Digital service offering on broadband here in Norway in particular has proved to be a popular service up against those households that are connected. And it's a high quality fiber quality type of service offering that's been that comes out of the coax cable as well. As for strategic moves, I can only generally say that we're following and discussing and thinking, and we're not sort of at this occasion pointing in any direction or any solution. But generally speaking, and as Richard said during his presentation, that we will be following the different possibilities that one might think that also might benefit sort of our position in that field. As for the growth profile of mobile internet access through both handhelds and modems, I don't think we can say that there is sort of any major change here. The iPhone stands out as being the most popular new device, still do. One might think that Apple later this year might come with a new version, which may sort of delay some decision makers to wait for a new version to come up. And I think that Scandinavian countries have basically proved that in this new interface has such a high level of attractiveness that it has done something with the willingness to consume from those type of terminals. So I mean, this ecosystem, good networks and good handhelds is something that both are needed in order to spur further revenue generation from the internet access. I think the iPhone firmly displays that.
Thank you very much.
Next, Ulrich Lauter, Societe Generale. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you. Three short questions, please. The first one is on the Swedish margin. You highlighted your success in cost-cutting there. Would you consider current margin levels in Sweden sustainable, or is this a particularly good quarter for some reason? Second question is on India. You highlighted very much in your presentation the difference between sort of the good circles and the bad circles, so the ones where it's all working better than in others. What's the main difference between them? Is it more the external market conditions that are different, or is it really simply the way the Uninor operation works? Is that the main difference between the ones where it's going well and it's going not so well? And my last question is a factual question. When is the lock-up in India that is, I think, part of the agreement in Uninor and part of the license conditions, actually, when is that expiring exactly?
Erika, will you address this?
Yeah, we can try. I think what you see is an improvement in the margins in Sweden, but still, I will not guide exactly for Sweden for the remaining of this year. That's not a part of this session, but I would say that still the EBITDA margins we have now is below the other Nordic operations, and there is more to do in Sweden. That's the fact.
And also there, one could add that both first and second quarter in 2009 were particularly weak quarters, so the improvement seems that significant. I'd say that we're more satisfied with this kind of margin level going forward than what we had last year. So we have to take the good development track that they are on and build on that.
When it comes to your question regarding India, I think it's fair to say now that we have circles that are performing okay. We have circles that are not performing okay. And I find the key challenge now is to get learning across the circles. And of course, we also have operation in other Asian countries that have been through this before. And also to increase the learning from those circles. You have to bear in mind that 180,000 points of sale, and I would guess on average there are 3 to 4 people employed in each of these points of sale on average. Sometimes there may be 2 people, others there are maybe 10 people. That tells you something about the challenge. It's more than 500,000 people in the points of sale that shall receive training and learning in a quite new distribution concept in India. And that speed of learning and tuning is somewhat different from circle to circle. And it has to do with what Fredrik said. It's about execution and learning from the best. So when it comes to your last question, the lock-up period, right now, it's expected, you have to help me a little bit on the exact date, but it's about 3 years from award of the license, if I'm not mistaken.
The M&A structures is locked in for 3 years after first quarter 2008. So I don't know the exact date for that, but in 2011, that opportunity opens up. There might be changes to that when and after the 3G auction is carried through, which is ongoing, as you know.
Thank you.
Next, David Wright, Deutsche Bank. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello, it's David here. Hopefully you can hear me. A couple of quick questions, please. First of all, on Thailand, I wondered whether you could give us some kind of indication of how the recent unrest has impacted the business at all. I would expect, obviously, the number of sales to be slowing. Just any indication we can get on that, especially given the performance so strong in Q1. And then secondly, on India, I do feel most of the questions have been fairly well answered, but I guess you haven't changed your EBITDA loss guidance. Now, it seems that your tariffs haven't been competitive. Thus, for them to be competitive, we must assume that the average yield on a minute is going to have to come down. We must assume that the subsidies to distribution in some form or other are going to have to go up. So is it, it suggests to me that there could be some pressure on this EBITDA guidance, given that, it's only phase one of the first operational year and you've already missed your own internal expectations. Any update on that? Thanks.
Yeah, Thailand, turbulence. We've seen turbulence in Thailand before. And obviously the turbulence that we're seeing for the time being has not hampered the telecom market. I hate to say, on the contrary, I don't know if there is a leak there, but it has not. So, and DTEC has done well. We all hope and tend to believe that DTEC has been able to also capture some market share in this period. But the longer-term effect of a turbulence like the one we see might, of course, be that tourism once again will halt, as we've seen for previous periods and previous unrest. Same thing has happened. Tourism has taken some time to recover. And from that aspect, roaming revenues might be under pressure. But on the other hand, we had periods of that before, last year and the year before there again. So, in a way, it seems to be part of the regular pattern in such a market. But obviously, the new type of smartphones enabling internet access is attractive for this domestic market as in other markets. And that is sort of the promising sign that we've seen in this quarter. In India, I think you're right to your observation that the revenue per minute might be under pressure, and it only naturally will be because a greenfield operator will start with quite much capacity available in the network, and you would normally utilize that capacity to start usage patterns with your new customers. So I think you're right in that sense. But on the other side, you need to generate and to promote usage in order to create longer-term usage patterns. And that has been done in every market that at least I have been participating in for the last 15 years on building the network effect between new user groups. And here on-net tariffs is part of those tools that you will utilize in under such environments. So this doesn't, the way we see it now, impact the present guiding on the EBITDA because we have been able to scale this reasonably well upon what we've seen this far, and I anticipate that we can be able to do that the rest of the year as well.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Next, Nick Gansas, Morgan Stanley. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks very much. There's another question on India, I'm afraid. Given the problems you're having there, which may well be long-lasting, given the degree of competition and the fact that you probably won't be able to compete on 3G and smartphone services in the future, at what point are you going to reconsider your investment in India or think about monetizing the spectrum value that you have there, given the very high prices in the current spectrum auction?
Yeah, you don't need to excuse yourself of addressing sort of India. We have a very good quarter on all operating on many operating aspects in the rest of the group, but we are fully aware that there are challenges in India and we need to address them. But bear also in mind that a greenfield like this will not perform positive figures after quite some time. And we have addressed that in other markets, and we've said it quite openly that there is a spending time before you can see the curves turn here. That has been the case in all other markets, and it will be the case in India as well. And India has an economic growth rate this year anticipated at level of 8%. We now see in what comes through in the reporting figures from incumbents there that they are starting to report revenue growth again compared to the two previous quarters where they had taken the heat out of the price reductions and the transition to taxation per second. And it may come as a surprise to someone that while moving to the per second taxation, that revenues are being cut. But that also has happened in all other mobile markets, where when you have changed from per minute to per second, so it was not a surprise to us. So this is hard and tough work. And of course, deeper down into this project, we will sort of bring up the status and do our evaluations as we have already done by reducing the capex figures in the overall project by 4 billion Norwegian kroner, which we did around 30 billion rupees, which we did in after fourth quarter. And we have further revised the balance between opex and capex in the updated guidance for 2010. But I do think that we are sort of taking in experiences, need to bring about improvements, and push for this project to deliver at par with competitors in that market.
Thanks very much.
Next, Kim Bode, Goldman Sachs. Go ahead, please.
Yes, it's Tim Boddy here. Just one last question for me, at least on India. Just do you think, given the changes in the way you see this unfolding, do you think 2010 will be the peak loss year, your peak year of cash burn, particularly at the EBITDA level, or could we now expect 2011 to be worse? And then secondly, switching gear, looking at the Nordic markets and particularly the strength of mobile growth, can you talk about the sustainability of that growth? And whether you're seeing yet any signs of a recovery, particularly in the corporate market. Many thanks.
Could David just repeat the last question on that line?
Just in the Nordic market, particularly in Norway, could you just give us an indication of the sustainability of revenue growth and to what extent you're seeing signs of a recovery in corporate demand? Thank you.
Let me start with the profile of the business case in India. We're still at having the view that 2010 will be sort of the strongest year of cash flow burn in a combination of capex and EBITDA loss. In Norway, sustainable, yes, we could all wish that a 9% top-line growth is sustainable going forward, but as we know, things are changing. There are segments out there which still will be seeking for more efficient internet connectivity. One could think that the iPhone users and the BlackBerry users and those type of users and that segment has now sort of been more or less 100% of that. But we all know that the new segments will develop sort of the top segment usage pattern going forward. So I'm not promising sort of a 9% growth profile of mobile in Norway going forward, but I think given that the economic macro figures for Norway being quite good also for 2010, that there should be a growth rate for the rest of the year as well. But we're not standing here promising sort of 9% every quarter.
Okay, thanks for that.
Next, Sumit Datta, New Street Research. Go ahead, please.
Hi there, yeah, Sumitra at New Street. A couple of questions, please. First of all, the fixed business, the revenue declines on the way, on the old way you reported anyway, are down, I think the last couple of quarters down sort of 5.5-6%. I think it was slightly higher actually last quarter. I just wondered, is this the new run rate you'd expect? I think historically you've guided to a level of nearer 4% declines. And I wondered whether the early phase of the IPTV TV launches helped reduce line loss or how that has gone. That's the first question. And then secondly, on Bangladesh, could you give any colour around the infrastructure sharing agreement and what implications that might have for CapEx and OpEx and profitability, etc.? Thank you very much.
IPTV is still very early. So whether the potential of IPTV really can offset the existing downward pressure of around 4-5%. That's a too early question to address. But the attractiveness of IPTV for at least the family segment should be quite good, really. So, VDSL capacity can be implemented in the network at a wider footprint than we have today. There should be a good potential to sort of start a revenue generation also on that technology. Bangladesh infrastructure sharing, for Grameen Phone as such being sort of the market leader with the most the highest degree of a developed network, we're more talking about the revenues on the rental side rather than sort of a strong effect on CapEx saving. There is a case there as well, of course, but the major contribution should come from lease rental income.
And just a couple of follow-ups. Is it possible to try and quantify what the margin uplift might be in Grameen Phone? And then secondly, on the fixed business, so the sort of 5.5%-ish declines of Q1 year over year, is that the sort of run rate we should think about for the full year? Thanks.
I think we will have to anticipate a rate of revenue pressure of around 5%. It's been fairly stable, I'd say, remarkably stable. And at the same time, the Norwegian the management in Norway has been able to work with the organization and its efficiency measure in such a way that we have been able to maintain margin, which is something that has been done regularly for close to 10 years now in a row. So the performance is very, very strong, utilizing new technologies and bringing new efficiencies into the different processes. But if you look at how communication developed in Norway, I think it's quite easy to understand that the fixed network and the mobile network will develop into sort of one network structure where the access side depends really on where the customer is at any point in time. And the customer will probably not ask for what kind of connectivity he works at, but he rather use the most optimal connectivity when available. So the longer term picture here is that the market decides, and in that sense, the split between fixed and mobile become more and more blurred as we move forward. And let me add just one more comment. Fourth quarter 2009 was the first quarter where mobile revenues exceeded fixed line revenues in Norway. So at the beginning of this year, those technology platforms were standing equally. Now we see a stronger growth factor attached to mobile, and
the pressure factor on pitch is more or less the same.
Next question, please.
Next, James Wheaton, Nomura. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I've got two questions, please. First of all, last year at the strategy presentation, you specifically mentioned selective disposal of non-core assets as part of your M&A thinking. Is this still part of your thinking? And you know, do you think we'll see evidence of Telenor actually selling any assets in the next few years? And secondly, just a follow-up on the dividend question. When you talk about the range on the net income payout, are you going to strip out the large exceptional items from net income to avoid dividend volatility? So should we expect you to exclude the 6 billion gain from the Vimcom transaction this year? Thank you.
On the divestment side, yes, you will see us... you might see us working on divestment cases. When, how, and involving what can, of course, not be, be described. And on the dividend, Richard?
I think you have to look at our guiding on dividend, the 40-60%. Of course, you have to evaluate the extraordinary P&L effects in that, and look at it as from a more normalized level.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Jacob Bluestone, Merrill Lynch. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi there. Two questions, please. Firstly, mentioned in the presentation that the 1.6 times net debt to EBITDA was not a target, but obviously your leverage is quite low. So I was wondering, could you maybe give us a sense of where do you currently think an appropriate level of leverage would be in the medium term? Secondly, you've obviously talked quite a bit today about rethinking the distribution in India, but I was wondering, are you looking at perhaps even working closer with one of the other operators in the market? And then finally, just a point of clarification, the reduction of CapEx in India, is this really just a matter of moving CapEx from 2010 to 2011, so basically a delay rather than a cut? Thanks.
Yeah, we can maybe start on your question about the net debt to EBITDA. And like you said, it's not a target, it's a cap. And we, as some of you may remember, we got a negative credit watch from S&P when we released our dividend proposal after the board meeting approving the fourth quarter results. We have since then had meetings with S&P and explained them the strength in our balance sheet. They took us off the credit watch, but still maintained a negative outlook. And that means that there are different views from the credit agencies on some of our assets. I would certainly say that the crystallization of the Vimpelcom value of 50 to 60 billion should help in our credit rating going forward. But again, I think the overall guideline is that we always must have the flexibility to refinance ourselves at attractive rates. Also, as I said, in order to do that, we need to be below 1.6. If we start to get up to 1.6, we start approaching the investment grade criteria, and that's not the position a company like Telenor should at all aspire to be in. I think we're quite comfortable with where we are now. But also that's also why we're proposing to explore the opportunities in a share buyback program. You want to take?
On structural issues for India, I think rumors will be plentiful. All players will talk to each other. Everyone will probably try to smell and taste what others might have of priorities. So I think it's far too early to sort of address that. as for now, when the bulk of the market is active in the 3G process, I don't think that much will happen really. On the CapEx side in India, I think it's both elements really. It's that it's one portion of delay, but it's also one portion of efficiencies achieved. And so there are a combination of a delay here and improved conditions and improved ways of rolling out the network that has that leads to these reductions in CapEx. And the profile of this going forward will then be tuned in with how the performance of the and the readiness within each circle will move ahead.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Next, Justin Dimovic, Exane BNP. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very few questions on my side. First one is on Pakistan. I'm wondering if you can give us an update on your mobile banking services that have been launched in Q4 last year. I'm wondering, have you started to see an impact on data output yet, or is it too early days? That's my first question. The second one is about M&A. You're mentioning a disciplined and selective M&A strategy. If you can enlighten us as to what kind of return on capital employed you'd be looking for, and whether we're talking about new markets or existing or locals in market consolidation. That would be my second question. And then to finish very briefly on Serbia, if you can explain whether the increase in subscriber acquisition cost is part of your own strategy to move upward the subscriber value moving to postpaid, sorry, or is it part as well of the competitive pressure increasing in the market? Thank you very much.
Well, a number of questions there. Easy Paisa, the mobile phone and mobile platform as a distribution channel for financial services. I've been a strong believer in that for many years, really. And in Pakistan, we are able to sort of address that value chain from A to Z, since we also are having an ownership into a small bank. So it's a promising startup. Last evening at Al Jazeera, the television channel, we were really portrayed as a very promising new service with a high level of convenience for our customers doing national remittances. It's too early to sort of state the potential of this into the group revenue streams or the group profitability, but we maintain the idea of that being a promising extension on what the mobile distribution systems and the mobile phone can constitute. As for structural, as for M&As in general, we are, for the time being, not considering sort of any new footprint as such. We're concentrating on the priorities that both me and Richard had on our panel this morning, and these are basically a repetition from what we said on previous quarters. Serbia?
On what kind of returns we're looking at, and of course that will vary from industry to industry and geography to geography that we are represented in. I mean, that has to be calibrated on the risk on the assets and the risk on the geography. It's not a universal answer to that within Telenor.
Perfect. And then on Serbia, we felt that to be to raise activity levels a couple of notches in Serbia was okay in order to firmly develop our position. What hampers the development in Serbia is the exclusive additional tax on telecom services in general, and they have the ability to address that to the president of Serbia when he visited Norway on his visit previous this week. And of course, it's a negative element in the macros of Serbia that such a one-sided tax is then deployed on telecom services as such. But we also understood that the government was working on alternative measures in that respect, in such a way that the market could normalize to other markets.
Hello? Time allows us to have only one more question, I'm afraid. Any unanswered questions may be addressed to our investor relations department. And last question, please, then.
Next, Maurice Patrick, Barclays Capital. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Maurice from Barclays Capital. A couple of quick ones. On mobile data in the Nordic region, clearly that has been stimulating your revenue growth. Could you talk a bit about the impact on your network you're seeing from that? And perhaps let us understand a bit of whether you're seeing any signs of data cannibalizing voice or SMS. And the second point on share buybacks, you talk about an attractive shareholder remuneration policy. You have disappointed in the past, perhaps, in terms of the level of buybacks, given you had the mandate before. How should we interpret the message from you? Is it that you'll use the buyback mandate to keep yourself up to or just below the 1.6 times net debt to EBITDA on top of dividends? Is that how we should be thinking about it, or are you thinking about attractive as maintaining a yield? Thanks.
The mobile usage of data applications does grow data volumes at high speed also in the on the domestic Norwegian network, as in any network. Those capacities are more or less in place in the domestic network in Norway. As we gradually develop that capacity through the CapEx structures that we have entertained. And if this can be done in an evolutionary way, I think we can handle and work at best practices going forward as well. Does it cannibalize SMS? We haven't necessarily seen that. SMS is popular. SMS is expanding, basically, into new applications. And if I may draw a small ad here, the SMS platform will be extensively used during the European Song Contest in the Telenor Arena, which we are going to arrange here in Norway in late May. So I really hope that the SMS platform will play out well and handle that traffic volume. So we're not seeing sort of a cannibalization element on that. And as to the share buyback, I think I have to say that we will not execute the share buybacks with the ambition of reaching 1.6 on the debt-to-EBITDA ratio. But more seriously, you will see us do some buybacks when time and performance proves that relevant.
Thank you.
Okay, and that concludes the session here this morning. Thank you all for participating.